Welcome to Boating Insights. This is a podcast about achieving your boating dreams, brought to you by Above and Beyond Boating. We deliver the leading courses to skipper your own boat. Okay, hi there. Welcome back to Boating Insights. We're very lucky to be joined today by Linda Berryman from AMSA. Linda, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Neil. Thank you for the opportunity. Lovely to be here.
Now, could you just give us a quick snapshot as to who AMSA are as a kind of organization from a search and rescue perspective and what you actually do within the organization?
Sure. So Australia provides a search and rescue, or otherwise known as a SAR service, for Australia. This allows us to quickly deploy a SAR response for anyone in distress. Australia has established a cooperative SAR arrangement between AMSA, the State and Territory Police, and the Defence Force. These are three organisations which make up Australia's SAR authorities, with many other SAR organisations acting in support. This allows us to provide an effective SAR service to anyone in distress, no matter where they are in the Australian SAR region. Our search and rescue region covers the Australian continent and large areas of the Indian, Pacific and Southern Oceans, as well as the Australian Antarctic territories. This region is nearly 53 million square kilometres, which is 1/10 of the Earth's surface, and borders the search and rescue regions of 10 other countries. My role at AMSA involves providing specialist advice on distress alerting, communication and safety systems, of which I have over 20 years experience. And in particular, this includes distress beacons and MMSIs, in which we'll discuss today.
Fantastic. Thank you. First of all, so could you just explain, you know, an MMSI, just sort of simply, what does that actually mean? Is it kind of like a registration number? I mean, what actually is an MMSI, if people aren't familiar with that?
Good question, Neil. So an MMSI is a Maritime Mobile Service Identity, which is a unique 9-digit number that is entered into certain marine radio communications equipment. So three of the 9 digits of an MMSI identify country of origin. So in the case of, say, a ship station, that is the country of registration. The remaining 6 digits uniquely identify the station itself. So the 3 digits identifying the country are known as the Maritime Identification Digit, or MID, and Australia's MID is 503. So normally a ship station would commence with 503 if it's Australian.
Awesome. And so even if they were, for example, like a boat might be in the Mediterranean, Caribbean, cruising the Pacific, but if they were registered in Australia, they would have an Australian MMSI and you would see 503. Say if you saw them on the AIS or something, you would see 503 at the beginning of that and know it was an Australian registered vessel.
That's correct, yes.
Awesome, thank you. Now, let's have a little kind of explore on these. So, first of all, do all boats need to have an MMSI number, or is it just based on the equipment that they carry? Like, so if everyone with a vessel, if they don't have an MMSI, should they have already gone out and got it, or is it sort of specific to certain boats and the equipment that they have on board?
Good question. It really is derived by what equipment you've got on board. So if you have a VHF and HF radio that does not have DSC, then you don't require an MMSI. And if you were to have an AIS receiver only, then you don't need an MMSI for that device either.
Awesome. And do you need an MMSI number for an EPIRB?
Good question. So no, you don't need an MMSI for an EPIRB. And you don't need an MMSI in order to register an EPIRB. In some instances, you can request for an EPIRB to be programmed referencing the MMSI for the vessel. However, this is not common practice. Most EPIRBs are purchased from a marine retailer off the shelf, say, and they're already pre-programmed with what we call a manufacturer's serial number, and labelled with the hex ID, of which you can then easily register.
Yeah, cool. So it's not something that it's sort of like, if if you were thinking, oh, I've got an EPIRB, I want to register it, oh, I need to get an MMSI number, that's not really the case. I mean, there might be one or two models, like you say, that you might choose to have an MMSI program. But basically, if you've got an EPIRB or a PLB, you should just get on and register it. You shouldn't be waiting to get an MMSI. Is that correct?
Exactly. They're two independent processes.
They're independent processes, but you still work with AMSA to do either of them, to apply for the MMSI or to register the EPIRB, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Brilliant. Okay, fantastic. Thank you. Now, why would you want an MMSI number programmed into your AIS or marine radio? And you know, within that, do you need any specific licenses to be issued with one?
So if you have an AIS transmitter and or, say, a VHF or HF DSC radio, you will require an MMSI in order to use the functionality. Similar to, say, a text message, DSC can be used to establish initial contact between vessels and stations, and you're identified by your MMSI number and able to indicate the priority of your message. So, for instance, whether it is a distress, emergency, security, or routine message. And an AIS, which is an automatic system used on ships and by vessel traffic services for identifying and locating vessels, so Class A or Class B transceivers, and for safety of navigation, so this enables visibility of vessels. Essentially, yes, you must be qualified to operate a VHF, HF, or AIS device. The qualification you need depends on the type of maritime station that you are operating. The ACMA, which is the Australian Communications and Media Authority, Maritime Ship Station 27 megahertz and VHF class license, that defines the certificate of proficiencies required to operate the station. And further information is available on the ACMA website. You can apply for an Australian MMSI number by completing an MMSI application online, or by downloading the form, and you are required to attach a copy of your marine certificate of proficiency with the application.
Fantastic, thank you. And so just to hone in on the licensing, so basically if you're carrying a VHF and or HF radio on board, you're required to be licensed regardless of the MMSI, just to have that equipment and operate it. But then on top of that, if it's DSC, you also need the license so that you can apply for the MMSI number. And then that MMSI number would end up being issued to the vessel. And then that would be programmed into all the equipment that you mentioned if you carried it. So if the vessel had the MMSI number approved, then it would go into the radios and the AIS, correct?
Good. That is correct, yes. So essentially the fixed mounted equipment, so VHF, HF and or AIS, they would all be programmed with the same ship station MMSI number format.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you. Now, and just for everyone listening, we'll have a few links of places that we're referencing here in terms of registering the MMSI numbers, and any links will be in the show notes as normal. But so Linda, we get a lot of people that we talk to almost daily who have purchased vessel that came with an MMSI number, so you know someone had already set it up in the equipment. So what's the process to take over an MMSI number if you purchase an Australian registered vessel that's already got an MMSI programmed into its fixed equipment?
So if you purchase a vessel which is equipped with an AIS, VHF and or HF DSC radio, and the equipment is programmed with an Australian MMSI, you're welcome to call AMSA on 1-800-406-406 to transfer the MMSI registration. Alternatively, you can complete the change of ownership form, which is available on our website, and the purchaser or the seller can actually complete this form and then email to AMSA at ausbeacon@amsa.gov.au. Most change of ownerships involve the MMSI and an EPIRB or PLB, so this can actually be completed at the same time. Or if you intend to email notification, then completion of the beacon registration form which is available on our website as well, includes the Beacon Hex ID and MMSI details.
Brilliant, thank you. And I mean, I often indicate, obviously, I'm talking to you within AMSA, but AMSA is easily my favourite government department. So when Linda suggested here, giving them a call, you literally call the number and someone that knows what they're talking about answers the phone and helps you. So please don't be deterred when it says give them a call that you might then spend 3 hours on hold and just get transferred. Like it is a system that actually works. We send people there all the time. But something I would add here is I'd encourage when you're doing it, please make sure that you've taken the time to find out what the MMSI number is on the boat, what the registration number is, just to help them. Because obviously, if you ring them up and then you say, oh, look, I'm not sure what the registration number is, I don't know if it's got an MMSI number, you're not going to make it very easy for them to help you. So try and make sure that you kind of gathered up a little bit of information beforehand. And if you don't know how to get the MMSI number out of your, particularly your VHF, can be one of the easiest places, just refer to the manual and it will tell you. But basically, there'll be a menu option to go into the DSC functionality. And either you'll go in there and you'll have an option that will display my MMSI number and you can take it out, or as in read it and write it down, or you'll try and access that functionality and it will say no MMSI, which literally means there isn't an MMSI programmed into that equipment at that stage. Can we do the same question for a foreign flagged vessel now? So if essentially an MMSI that doesn't start with 503, so maybe someone sailed a boat to Australia, sold it here, and it's got a non-Australian MMSI programmed into it. What are there any differences to the process?
Sure. So if you purchase a foreign flagged vessel, which has a foreign flagged MMSI, the vessel must change to Australian flag before you can apply for an Australian MMSI. Once the Australian MMSI has been allocated, the AIS, VHF, and or HF DSC equipment must be reprogrammed with the new Australian MMSI, and you can refer to the user manual for further guidance. Also, for consideration, if there is an EPIRB or PLB on board, these may need to be programmed with the Australian country code. The beacon can be returned to the manufacturer for reprogramming. Once reprogrammed, each beacon, they'll be issued with a new hex ID, which can then be registered with AMSA.
So Linda, if on that note, we mentioned we'll do PLBs and EPIRB separately, but if someone decides that it's just too hard to get a EPIRB PLB reprogrammed and they just replace it, what's the best thing to do with the one that came with the boat if it's not registered to them? Should they carry it or dispose of it properly? What's the best process there?
Recommendation is that all safety equipment on board your vessel should be programmed and registered in the same country. So if you decide not to keep one of the pieces of equipment, then definitely safely dispose of it. Beacon disposal guidance is available on the AMSA website.
Awesome. Thank you. Now, can DSC capable equipment be reprogrammed if the MMSI programmed was set up for a foreign vessel and it's now a Australian flagged vessel? So can they get that swapped over? Say if it was in the VHF or the HF radio or the AIS, can that be reprogrammed?
Yes. So DSC equipped VHF and HF radios, even or AIS, can be reprogrammed with a new MMSI if required. So recommend that you refer to the user manual for guidance. You will require the services of a marine technician or manufacturer servicing agent.
Yeah, brilliant. And am I right in thinking for an AIS, it's usually a bit more straightforward, but it's the marine radios that are the bit that where you'll tend to need the technician or manufacturing service agent normally?
Yeah, that's right. So the VHF and HF radios, you tend to require the services of a marine technician, and AIS, if you follow the user manual, normally there's some self-help guidance there to follow so you can reprogram yourself.
Brilliant. Thank you. And just on that note, I'm a big fan actually of being able to do the MMSI and understanding how to update your AIS yourself, because a lot of systems will enable you to, for example, put a current photograph of the boat. Sometimes you can put the passage information on there, sort of your destination and things. So it's normally basically as simple as having a like a USB style cable connected to your computer, going to a web page and following the instructions. Like, it's pretty simple stuff. So don't shy away from learning how to kind of update and program your AIS on board. You know, you can always bring someone in or get them to sit next to you when you're doing it. And just flagging kind of cost benefit with the radios. If it's quite a basic or old VHF radio, it might be kind of cost prohibitive to bring someone in and send it away to be reprogrammed and things. And if it's, you know, quite a nice radio, or it was quite expensive and it's all kind of compatible with all your other systems, and you might be up for doing that. Just bearing in mind, you'll need to budget a bit of time. So especially if you were, for example, buying a boat overseas, this is something that you might want to get onto quite quickly if you were going to need to allow a bit of lead time to kind of get it sorted out. So Linda, the last thing, just in terms of when we're applying for MMSI numbers, now we've got a set up when we're looking at the dinghies or the tenders for vessels. So sometimes they'll have a handheld VHF. Sometimes they'll actually, you know, some of the bigger boats with people listening may well have fixed radios, even AIS in the tenders. So can you just explain, so if you do have a dinghy tender set up, and it's got a handheld VHF, or two, if the dinghy has its own fixed radio, do you just put the same MMSI number into everything, or is there a sort of slightly separate process? And, you know, if so, how does that work?
Yeah, good question. So each individual handheld VHF DSC radio will require its own unique MMSI, which commences with 8503. If you have a craft or tender, and it's installed with a VHF DSC or AIS, then it will require its own unique MMSI identity. And if that craft or tender is associated with a parent ship, then it will be in the format of 98503. If the craft or tender is not operating in association with a parent ship, then it may require its own ship station identity, which starts with 503. You're welcome to contact AMSA to discuss that scenario in more detail and how best to complete the MMSI application. Otherwise, for further information on MMSIs and MMSI formats, that's available online on our website.
Thank you. And sort of, if I could reiterate sort of the key point, is if in doubt, don't just go, oh, I've got an MMSI, that'll do. Take the time to make sure that you've got this set up properly, because ultimately, the key driver for all of this is safety, and making sure that if you're in distress, that you can be identified, located, and helped. And so just picking up the phone, you know, the 1-800-406-406, quick chat with someone that knows what they're talking about. If you explain the usage, they'll be able to tell you exactly what you need, and then you just complete the MMSI application. Once you've got the vessels set up in your AMSA system, you've got the account, you've already got your radio license uploaded, it is super easy to just do another MMSI application. If you need to, it'll take you honestly a couple of minutes max. And just getting it right and making sure that you have done it correctly is an awful lot easier than either having it wrong or realizing and not realizing, or having it wrong and then realizing that you're going to have to get the whole thing kind of reprogrammed by a service agent and so on. So, but as Linda mentioned there, if in doubt and you can't work it out from looking at the website, don't just ask your mate in a yacht club bar or at the boat ramp. Just go and call the government department who manages it, and they will help you and give you the right advice. So Linda, thanks so much for joining us today and sort of helping explain a bit about the MMSIs for everyone. It's been really helpful. I've really enjoyed gathering some of your knowledge, and thanks for generously sharing it with all our listeners.
Thanks, Neil. It's been a pleasure.